Everybody, Pastor Kevin here. Thanks for joining us today. Talking today about hearing God speak, and that Scripture is the foundation to that. I have a few words I want to read to you, and then I want you to just say, do you relate with this? Because Jesus says that the sheep hear His voice, and so God wants us to hear His voice. He's speaking to us. So how about this? Have you ever felt drawn to the love of God? Have you ever felt drawn to the love of God? Have you ever, has God ever spoken to you through the Bible? Has God ever spoken to you through another person? Have you listened to a message online or at Sunday service or a podcast and God spoke to you through that? Have you ever had a burden to pray for somebody else? Have you ever got a prompting to serve someone or an organization in the community or at your church? Have you ever had that sense? Do you ever experience conviction of sin? Well, if you do, you've heard God speak. God speaks to us rarely in an audible voice. I've never heard God speak in an audible voice, but I feel like God speaks to me, and I know God speaks to me really regularly, very regularly. And first and foremost, He speaks to us through His Word, through the Scriptures, right here. And so I want to look today just at a few thoughts about that and how that's just so foundational for us. And so He speaks to us other ways too. Some of them I mentioned. He speaks through other people. He speaks through prophecy, the gift of prophecy, promptings, pain, desires, doors. God is speaking to us. And part of that is learning how to discern and discern what's God's voice and what's not. And then also the key though to all of this is Scripture. Like immersing ourselves in the Scriptures so that, because everything is measured and filtered through Scripture. So as you know God and you know His Word, that's how you get to know God, first and foremost through His Word. There's your foundation. There's your stable, steady place. And then these other ways God speaks, open doors, promptings, prophetic ministry, those then can be filtered through Scripture. Without that, then it's kind of, you're left kind of loose and hanging. You don't know if you don't know the Word. So that's why it's so important to be in the Word every day. Now, there's a couple groups of people watching this today, tuning in. You may be newer to Jesus. This is going to be really helpful for you. If you have known Jesus a long time and you're like, well, I know Scripture is the key, Kevin, I know it's the foundation, then I want to challenge you not just to receive this for yourself, but would you take what you learned today and would you pass it on? Because we're all called to make disciples. And I know a lot of long-term believers who consider themselves mature, at least they've known God a long time and they've been walking with God a long time. But I'm amazed how many of them aren't making disciples, how many of them aren't passing it on. And so you're not meant just to receive for you. You're meant to be a conduit. You're meant to go and make disciples. Invest what you learn in someone else. So I pray that as you listen today, as you tune in, as you open your Bible, as you see the Scriptures on the screen and go back later and reflect on them, make sure you take something and pass it on. Okay? This is key. This is vital. I'm called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And the work of ministry isn't just you. It's ministry through you to others. All right? All right. So let's get after it. So John 10:3 says, this, the sheep hear His voice and He calls His own sheep by name and He leads them out. And that's just a simple verse, but the Bible, we're talking about Scripture as foundational to hearing God speak. And the Bible itself claims to be the Word of God 962 times. That's a lot, almost 1,000 times. Isaiah, here's a few verses. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. Psalm 119:105, Your word is a lamp to My feet and a light to My path. See, so there's, all of Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God, and I think it has over 100 verses in it. There's just so many Scriptures that the Bible claims to be the Word of God, is the Word of God, and talks about its benefits and all that. One key in the New Testament, one key Scripture, I've got three big points. Here's the first one, that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful, that God's breathed His words to humans to then pen that to a specific group of people in a specific time, for a specific purpose then, but also there's timeless principles in the Scriptures for each of us. And so look what Timothy says here. Second Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:15-17. It says, and how from infancy, Paul's speaking to Timothy, he says, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Like, you've known them. Like, you've been in the Bible, in the Scriptures, early, as a young person, infancy. So he's been hearing them, his mother, Lois, and Eunice, his grandmother. Like, they've been teaching, they taught him, they were discipling him early on in the Scriptures. It says, which are able to make you wise for salvation. So they bring godly wisdom. And salvation through what? Through faith in Christ Jesus. And then verse 16, all scriptures God-breathed, here it is, and useful. So it's God-breathed, inerrant, inspired, authoritative. It's useful for what? For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Verse 17, so that the servant of God, you and I, may be thoroughly equipped for every what? Good work. And remember, that's Ephesians 2:10, says you and I, God's prepared good works in advance for us to do. So one of the key reasons to be in the Word of God is all these things mixed together. There's a lot here. We won't unpack this deeply, but I'll go through some of it. But it's all getting us equipped to then walk out all that God has for us. That means there's purpose. There's plans every day that God has set up for us to do. And when we're in the Word of God, and we're letting it be useful. It's teaching us. It's correcting us. He's adjusting things that are off. This is beautiful because it helps us walk then in alignment with God's ways and God's will. So it's God-breathed. In other words, it's internally consistent. It contains 66 books by over 40 authors. It's survived historic history for thousands of years, and despite so many efforts to destroy it, and its meaning is unchanged through all the translating and scribes, hand copying. Remember, no copy machines thousands of years ago, supported by archaeological discoveries, correcting its prophecies of things to come. I mean, that's a whole study in itself, just to look at the authority of Scripture and why it's God's Word, and it's a beautiful study. You should do it. But it says that it's God-breathed and it's useful, meaning it's profitable, it's beneficial. And it's because you might go, why should I be in the Word of God? Well, yeah, it's foundational. Okay. But it is the manual for love, manual for living, manual for everything in life. And it's full of wisdom and a treasure, and it's how to live and be activated to lead a life of everything God's called us to. And in marriage and children and every part of our life, singleness, no matter what, in work, in friendships and relationships, like every aspect of life the Scripture touches on. And so it is good for guiding and leading. It teaches us and corrects us, it says there in 2 Timothy 3. It makes us, I like how the New Living says, all Scripture is inspired by God, useful to teach us what is true, right? So it's helping us find out what's true, what's true north, what's actually true. So many people go, well, I have my own truth. Well, you can say you have truth, but there's only one truth, God's Word, God and His Word. And so that helps us have a standard. We know what the real authentic is in the sense of truth. And so we can then measure things that come at us and say, well, this is what I think is true, and this is what I think is true, or maybe this is what I think is true. Kevin says something, and you go, does that actually line up with Scripture? You need to make sure it does, right? You know, I'm not inerrant. I'm a human, but I try to be aligned with the truth of God, but I'm in process too. So you and I need to judge everything that comes out of our mouths and others' mouths through Scripture. Especially when you think you've heard God's voice or you're hearing from God, make sure it aligns with truth. And so that authentic truth is so key. And I like what Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. So it can get in just in the nuance and just divide some things there through our mind, will, and emotions and our spirit man. And it helps us go, what's fleshy and what's spirit? Right? And that's Romans 8. I mean, have your mind set on the Spirit, not on the flesh. And when you have your mind set on the Spirit, there's life and peace and godliness flowing. So the Word of God is so for that. It helps, it gets in there and does like spiritual surgical moves and helps us reflect and go, wait a minute, why? I didn't realize I was struggling with that. Today's been a hard day for me, honestly. Like, I just felt so much resistance spiritually. And you know, and here I am, I'm in the Word, I'm reading the Word, but the enemy hates that. So just know, when you get in the Word, when you want to spend time in the Word, the enemy will do things to distract you, to get you off on some tangent. So that's why it's so important, and that should be a clue to all of us to go, why is it so hard for me to read my Bible, or to study my Bible, or to memorize Scripture, or to fast, or to pray? It's because the enemy knows that's life and truth, and he doesn't want you in that. He doesn't want you closer to God. He doesn't want you knowing God. He doesn't want your life to align with the truth. No way. Steal, kill, destroy. And so that's his job description. And so he's going to try to keep you away from especially the Word of God, the Bible, and any truth you can get. So be aware of that. And I like what D.L. Moody says. He says, the Scriptures are not given for our information, but for our transformation. We shouldn't just read the Bible just for information, just for knowledge. That's a good start, and that's where it starts. You get information, and you get your understanding in the sense of your mind, understanding filled with knowledge, the epistemological approach, right? The nature of knowledge. And we need to do that, but I like the Scripture. I like to look at the Scripture as a mirror, a perfect mirror being held up as we read it. And that mirror then reflects what's going on in us. And that's what Hebrews 4:12 is talking about. It's going to reflect where you're at in the process, not from a condemning standpoint, but from, hey, God's got us on a journey of growing. He's already taken care of our righteousness in Christ. It's done. But then there's this journey of growing up into who he's called us to be and that sanctification process. And so as we hold up the Word of God every day in our times with him and our study, it gives us this opportunity to go, where am I at? How am I doing? What is going on? Do I really believe who I am in Christ? Or am I sideways there a little bit? Am I in the flesh more than I'm in the spirit? Where am I at? And he will help us do that. And so it's so key. So let's keep going. It says it's going to train us and equip us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, train us in righteousness that we'll be thoroughly equipped. And so these are so good. They're so important. I think every Christian who's ever lived, every Christian who's ever lived, ultimately, we know that the Scripture, the Bible, is the ultimate way to know who you are, who God is, what he's accomplished, what he has for us, purposed in our lives. And it is true north. And it's not just information. It's transformational information that leads us. It's like it's not like a picture on the wall where you look at it and go, oh, that's a nice picture. That's nice truth. It's more like I look at it like a window, where we look out a window into a world, and there's an invitation to go journey in that world, God's ways, God's presence. And we don't want to just stay locked in our own house. We want to go out and explore the world God has for us. And so it's a window into walking in everything he's called us to, his ways, his purposes. And so it's so beautiful. I like what Peter Gregg says. He says, when it comes to hearing God, the Bible is the very language of his heart. Nothing he says in any other way or in any other context will override, undermine, or contradict what he already said in the Scriptures. So good. Peter Gregg's a charismatic guy like we are, and we believe God still speaks today. The Holy Spirit's speaking to us, and he will give us words of knowledge and words of wisdom and prophetic utterances, and that he speaks to us in our quiet times and promptings and different ways, as I mentioned on the front end of this. But all of that, again, is filtered through Scripture. The primary way God speaks to us is through his Word. He has spoken to us. We've got a lot of content right here to grow in and learn and apply. And he'll give you fresh rhema words for the day. But we have the Logos, the written Word, for all of us. And there's so much here. There's so much to get to know. There's so much to walk in. And, of course, the Holy Spirit then highlights things every day as we're in it. It's beautiful. So that first thing is so key, right? To realize that it's God-breathed and useful, the Scripture, foundational. And I want to give you two more important things to realize as you're hearing God speak through Scripture. And I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, turn to Luke 24. And I want you to later read 13 through 45. But for the sake of time, I'm going to sum up the first few verses, and I'm going to read a little chunk. So like verses 13 through 32, what's happening in context, this is after Jesus is resurrected. This is the two are walking on the road to Emmaus, and they're grieving Jesus' death, two of his discouraged disciples. Jesus comes alongside, starts walking alongside, and they don't recognize him. It says he kept them from knowing who he was. And they were sharing their disappointment because he was asking, what are you talking about? And he's like, have you not heard about Jesus and what he'd done and what he's accomplished and what he did? But they were disappointed because they didn't think this was how it was going to go down. They thought he was going to overthrow the Romans and the Messiah was going to be in a different way. And so they're sad. He's communicating with them. He's talking to them. He's walking alongside. We don't know exactly how long that journey was. It could have been maybe 2 to 3 hours even that he was with them. And then in verse 25, let's pick up there. He, speaking of Jesus, said to them, to the two disciples that were there, he says, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. Verse 29, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then, look at this, verse 31, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. It was Jesus, and he disappeared from their sight. So Jesus, they've been with him all day for a long time, and then all of a sudden, they break bread together. Had that communion moment, and then boom, he disappears. They see him. And verse 32, look what it says. I love this. It says, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Let me read it again. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? I want you to go back and study this because there's a whole lot in here, and this, even the parts I didn't read, there's so much in here. But it's worth a study. It's worth really digging into it. But here's the second key. So we remember that all scriptures God breathed and useful. Secondly, remember that Jesus is the hero. And I just want you to think about what I just read to you, because the context again is this is Jesus post-resurrection. So he's already died. He's already taken care of our sins. But he has not yet ascended to the Father, so he hasn't ascended so he could send the Holy Spirit. And so he's now walking with the disciples, and what does he do? Well, in verse 27 it says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them, to the disciples, what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So he's basically saying all the things concerning him. So he's pointing out him, the Messiah, all the way from the Old Testament. He's weaving it through the Torah. He's showing them, see how I'm here. See how I'm talked about here and here and here and here. He's helping them connect the dots that they hadn't connected. And just remember this. All scripture points to Jesus, forward and backwards. It points back and forward. It's directly about the person and work of Jesus. He is the hero of God's narrative, of the big grand narrative, of the big story told in the Bible. And I think it's important to note that here, the resurrected Jesus on the road to Emmaus, he is looking to the Bible as authority, for the authority to communicate to these disciples. Jesus is using the scripture. If Jesus is using the scripture, the post-resurrected Jesus is using the scripture. Don't you think that is clearly clear for us that we should also use the scripture? Right? So I just think this is really important to note. And he uses that authority, and he uses the scripture too. He has authority, but he's using the word of God. Jesus is the word. He's sharing the word, the written word, the logos with them, and unpacking it so that they have a foundation when he goes to know, right, Jesus. And he's helped to see him all the way through. And then in verse 32, I love what it says. It says, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So in verse 32, a little farther, he, you know, scriptures concerning himself is in 27, opened the scriptures to us. And he says, weren't our hearts burning? There's something, they're encountering Jesus in the scriptures together, and the God is doing the work in them. Their hearts were burning. They were getting an aha revelation, and it's beautiful. And then if you go to skip down to verse 44 and 45, it says, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Jesus is saying that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. See how he's talking about all these things that have to be fulfilled. Then he, verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So he is helping them. He is helping them open up their minds and their understanding so they get some clarity. Jesus is helping them in that moment. Because this, remember, this is again before he fills them with the Holy Spirit, because he hasn't ascended yet and he hasn't sent the Holy Spirit. Before he sends them on mission, before he calls them to declare his saving power, Jesus is saying, I need to show you who I am, that I'm the hero of the story, that this really is about me, that the scripture speaks about me the whole time. The stuff you've known and memorized, these scriptures, you didn't notice me in there enough. You didn't see me, but he's connecting the dots for him to help him see it. And this is so vital. So before, let me back up a little bit. Pre-resurrection, so Jesus is at the Last Supper and with the disciples, and this is what he says in John 16, 13. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So now he's speaking about the Holy Spirit, the advocate, comforter, counselor, and he's saying, he's letting the disciples know even before he dies, so even before this road to Emmaus moment we just read in Luke 24, he's saying, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So he's getting the download, and then the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's letting them know, this is going to happen. I'm giving you the cliff notes ahead of time so you know what's going to happen, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And of course, that happens in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit comes, and now you and I, post-resurrection, post-Pentecost, you and I can be baptized, filled, and continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And we carry the Holy Spirit in us, with us. And again, we can be filled and refilled. Ephesians 5:18 says that, be continually refilled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's so key. And that's the second key. So Jesus is the hero. First point was all scriptures, God breathed, right? And useful. Secondly, Jesus is the hero. So as we're hearing God speak in scripture, we want to remember this as we're reading it and discerning, right? This is God's truth, God's word, but Jesus is the key. So look for Jesus in the passages. Look for Jesus. Look for the messianic thread all the way through. And then thirdly, ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the truth as you're reading it. It's inspired. It's the Holy Spirit's there and involved in the writing and the penning, all of that. But every day, you don't just have to have logos, which is great, the written word. That's, yes, awesome. It's going to be like pulsating with truth. But then the beautiful thing is God makes it personal. So he can make it personal for you in that day and for what you need. And the truth that needs to be highlighted for you, he knows what you need. He knows the food you need. He knows the nutrition you need. He knows what spiritual vitamins you need, right? Maybe you're lacking here. And he's like, I can take care of that. But ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding and to highlight. I liken it to a spotlight or a flashlight. As you're reading scripture, have him go, you know, highlight something on there. You know, God, take the yellow highlighter and go, show me what's for me today. Or what's not just for me, but what's for that person I'm discipling, that person I'm investing in. What's for that person that you've got set up for me to have a kairos moment with and talk with. And I'm going to be able to remember that's the scripture. So show me. And that's what he does. It isn't just for you. It's for those things he's going to do through you, who you're investing in, who you might share the gospel with or your story with or who you might encourage. God knows what you need because he knows what's coming, right? And so shine a light on it, Holy Spirit. Do that. That's the third thing to remember. And look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 11, in light of this idea of the Holy Spirit illuminating truth. It says, this is what the scripture, Paul's saying, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his what? By his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So, look at that. Just leave that on the screen if you would. God's spirit is not the world's spirit. We've received it. If you're in Christ, if you've surrendered your life to Christ and believed what he accomplished for you on the cross through his death, burial, resurrection, that's the gospel, was the good news, and it was enough, and it was for you, then you then get the Holy Spirit as a part of that incredible grace package and gift. And it says, now we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. But there's a process of knowing. You have access to everything in God, in his word, through in life and godliness. He says he's given all this to us, but he reveals what we need as we need it. And part of that comes from being in his word. It's a light to our path. It's daily manna. It's daily food. It's daily nutrition. It's not, again, just for you. It's for those you're investing in. And so don't just receive truth for you only. Receive it to give it away. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the wisdom and truth in the Bible. I mean, if I told you, if you came and talked to me, you said, Pastor Kevin, I want to know more. I want to understand God more. And I said, listen, I have a personal friend who is a genius, like knows the scripture backwards, forwards, has such a deep relationship with God that when you spend time with them, they like you feel so much peace, like peace is radiating from them, like comfort and encourage. It's like you're just by being within any proximity of this person, you feel like you're getting a massive, warm, peaceful hug. You feel encouraged. You're like, man, I just want to hang out with this person. They're incredible. And as you converse and as you listen to this person, you are so like stuff in God's word starts making sense. Like you're like, man, I never noticed that before. I never saw that before. That scripture? Wow. I didn't see that layer. And you might go, you know, and this person that I know knows your learning style. Like they know your personality. They know exactly how you're wired. They know your quirks. They know your the things that are a little, some people go, that annoys me. But they're like, that's okay. I know that. And I can work with that. I made you. Yeah, you might go, who is this person? Well, you probably get it. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the genius. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, I'm sending the Holy Spirit because he's going to reveal all truth, but he's not going to reveal anything he hasn't already heard from me. Right? And so isn't that beautiful? So he's the messenger of that information to us, every information and revelation to us of truth. It's so good. And he wants to help us unpack truth and highlight truth and just remember that in God's, the word of God is God breathed. It's useful. It's Jesus is the key. And when you're spending time with him and you're reading the scripture, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. What's needed? What's needed for tomorrow? What's needed for today? Scripture says, you know, don't worry about for tomorrow because today has enough worries of its own. But he also knows you might need something 3 days from now, and he might give it to you today. You don't have to worry about that, but that's the reason to be in it. Because it's like, the Holy Spirit's like, yep, they got that part of the scripture. I'm going to put that right here on the shelf, and I'm going to pull that off the shelf and say, this is the time. Share that. Yeah, it's fun. Like, reading God's word is so fun. It's key to hearing God speak is to be in the scripture regularly. So, I want to wrap this up this way, that on the screen, I put first four verses of Psalm 23, and I'm going to read through it a couple of times. And then I just I just want you to do this. As a matter of fact, you know, you're doing this online, so just make notes. Psalm 23:1-4, and I want you to try this, and then I'm gonna read through it once or twice. I just want you to take a breath right now. Just take a deep breath, right? And I want you just to receive. Just say, and I'm just gonna pray, Holy Spirit, help each person just receive from you, to hear from you. God, you speak through your word. We can not only read your word, we can pray your word, or pray scripture. And we can pray this psalm. But Lord, I believe you want to speak. I believe you're going to highlight by your Holy Spirit a few words, a phrase, a word in this for the people tuning in. And I thank you that you do that. Only you can do that. You're the genius. So let me read it to you. Just close your, you can just listen if you want, or if you want to watch, that's fine too. But the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm going to read it one more time. And I want you to pay attention to any word or phrase and make note of it if you would. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so as you are just in this kind of just a contemplative moment here, there's a few questions you could ask. You, for instance, you could say, what word or phrase stands out? I already kind of highlighted that. Secondly, you could ask this question, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to show me from that word that you highlighted or that phrase that you highlighted? And then also, you know, what's one thing you want me to do with that? Do you want me to share it with somebody? Do you want me just to sit on it for another week or two? You wanted me to journal about it? Yeah. See, and as you're in the word, and what's a prayer that might flow from this? So I know this may seem simple, but I'm amazed how many people don't spend time in the Word, but don't spend time contemplating and reflecting and maybe even multiple times reading through. You could easily read through this passage 5 times. And you could read through the whole Psalm 23. It's very short. And just do this every day. Do something like this every day. And so let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you that, God, you do speak to us first and foremost through your Word. And I pray that as people get, the people tuning in, for many it's a reminder, for many it's like, I need to pass this on to somebody I'm investing in who I know maybe isn't doing this or doesn't know about this exactly. I pray they do that. God, thank you for truth. Lord, align us, reveal the thoughts and intents of our heart. Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for the good news of your death, burial, and resurrection. If there's anybody tuning in that doesn't yet know you, I pray today they'd say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you. Have a great week.